We have a very special liturgist this morning.
At the start of spring, I open a trench in the ground. I put into it the winter's accumulation of paper pages. I do not want to read again, useless words, fragments, errors. And I put into it the contents of the outhouse, light of the sun, growth of the ground, finish with one of their journeys, to the sky, to the wind, then and to the faithful trees. I confess my sins, that I have not been happy enough considering my good luck. I have listened to much noise. I have been inattentive to wonders. I have lusted after praise, and then upon the gathered refuse of my mind and body, I close the trench, holding shut again the dark. The deathless earth, beneath that seal, the old escape into the new. Witness of ancient wisdom. John chapter 12, verse 24. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. God is still speaking.
And we are still listening. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Pax. Well, if you've ever opened a compost bin in midsummer, like I did yesterday, you know it's not a pretty sight. It steams, it smells, it's filled with what looks like the end of the story. Coffee grounds and wilted lettuce and last week's leftovers. And yet any good gardener will tell you this is where the real magic happens. Those scraps, they're not trash. They're raw materials. And given air and time and the patient work of unseen microorganisms, they will become a rich, dark soil, which gardeners sometimes call black gold. And it is the foundation for next season's growth. When Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. I believe he was pointing to this same mystery, using a familiar metaphor to teach the simple lesson that death and loss are not the end in God's economy. They are the natural and necessary conditions for a life-bringing transformation. And we began planning this summer series, Garden of Gratitude and Hope, many months ago now. Heather came to me with this idea for a summer faith formation program, and we started to talk about how it might come together with our worship here in the sanctuary. I'll say often we begin with our readings assigned by the lectionary and then pull out the messages that we would like to talk about and highlight each Sunday. In this case, we did it the other way around. We began with our theme and then went looking for scriptures and stories that helped illustrate the messages we felt called to share. Messages about gratitude and hope and renewal and life. Why did we think this was so important? Because, so much of today's news feels the opposite of those things. We wanted to make sure that we had a message of hope to share with you. It's too easy for me to get fixated on all the things that I feel are going wrong and ignore all the things that are growing up around me, the good and life-bringing things. So this morning I just want to say there are those things going on in our world, and those matter. And I want us to also turn our attention to the good things that are growing up all around us. Now, I say part of this also began in a little holy envy for our neighbors down the road at Calvary Lutheran and the beautiful community gardens that they have next to their church there. We're not the only church in downtown, but it's hard to get enough soil around us to make a garden like that happen right there on your church property. But here at Hillsboro UCC, we've begun our own small steps of adding a garden of native and water-wise and pollinator-friendly plants. Our children have a little garden out there in the courtyard where they're seeing plants grow that they can eat and harvest, When we first imagined this plan for the landscaping out there, I got a whole lesson in cardboard composting and soil health and what it takes to make the land thrive again. There's so many lessons embedded in that work. But one of the most important and central lessons is simple. And it's just that in our universe, there's a simple truth that nothing is ever wasted. Nothing is ever wasted. And from the death and decay of one organism comes the new life of another. What looks and feels like rot is often the soil of resurrection. Rosemary Radford Ruther once wrote, "In nature, death is not an enemy, but a friend of the life process." Now, that's not to say that loss isn't painful, but it is to remind us that endings and beginnings are intertwined. And if we were to zoom in and look at that soil under a microscope, or zoom out and look at our universe through a telescope, we would see the same simple truth again and again. Every end is another new beginning. In the last couple years, I've been reading a lot by the author Robin Wall Kimmerer. She's a botanist and a citizen of the Potawatomi Nation. She writes, "When we're looking at things we cherish falling apart, when inequities and injustices are so apparent, people are looking for another way we can be living. We need interdependence rather than independence. We need to build good soil culturally and socially and to create potential for the future." She tells of raking leaves into her compost pile and realizing this is our work as humans in this time, to help create the conditions for renewal. That's what compost does. It takes what has fallen, what is finished, and slowly, with time and breath and care, turns it into the soil for something new. If I was just to go over a few of those sort of steps in the process, I think about that three-bin compost setup in the garden. There are things you have to know to make it work really well. And some of those have parallels to our spiritual lives. One, you need to know the ingredients. Compost needs both greens, those fresh scraps, and the browns, the dry leaves. And life is the same. We need to name both our struggles, and we also need to name the sources of stability. We need to know where we can go to for help. Another lesson is you need to remove what doesn't belong. Take out what will harm the process. Now, in your compost bin at home, it might be plastics or toxins, those little labels that come on the fruits, or the plant tags that find their way from the garden of last year into the compost of next year. You need to pull those out. Maybe it's the bones or hard scraps that won't compost well. Perhaps in our souls, we need to remove the things that are holding us back. Feelings of bitterness or shame. Lessons that we've internalized that aren't serving us well for new life. The next step, you must mix and turn. In compost, oxygen speeds the transformation. Have you ever noticed how some people or some places feel like a breath of fresh air? Spirit breathes through us. in our collective prayers, in the time we take for community, in the fresh perspectives that we get in new places or with new people. The last, most important ingredient is time. Healthy compost doesn't happen instantaneously. Neither does the healing and renewal we hope for in our spiritual lives. Resurrection takes time. Sometimes it's a season, sometimes it's many seasons. The last, most potential, important lesson is that this soil is the soil of new growth. The end result is rich soil, ready for planting. And our experiences might be nourishment for others' lives. I was thinking about this theme of compost, and I knew there was one person I had to talk to, my colleague, Reverend Jared Hamilton, who lives in Vermont. We're part of the same clergy group, and we were granted funds during our clergy sort of education to pick a topic and invest in it and learn more. I've taken that time to do some more education. My friend Jared used his sabbatical and sabbatical grants to buy about 20 yards, cubic yards of compost. He wanted to improve the soil around his home there in Vermont and the soil around his church. And so he bought all this compost to turn that rocky, thin-soiled yard into a community garden. He built those compost bays. He learned all about permaculture, and he saw in 2 years his topsoil grow by 2 inches. And it wasn't perfect. They had some problems with uninvited guests in their garden. It required adapting to wildlife. They experimented with worms and bokashi, these additives that can help speed the composting. But in the end, it changed the land visibly for the better. I wrote to him, and he wrote back saying that composting is an orientation that acknowledges death as part of the life process and allows us to think about how something dead or dying might nourish some new ministry or mission. He also believed that composting reminds us that we are not just people roving around the earth, but we are people of a place and a land, and that what we do in this place has a long-term impact on those who will follow us. Coming back to our verse from John chapter 12, verse 24, unless a grain of wheat falls and dies, it remains but a single grain of wheat. If it falls to the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. I actually had a pastor years ago who was an artist, and in his office he had a painting with this verse. And wheat, like not that unlike the wheat on my stole here this morning, and those words printed there. I remember I always loved that painting, but I thought about it in the context of that pastor's office and what it meant to him. It reminded him, I think, that ministry was about more than himself. It was about service towards his community. But in that context, there were also other themes, or maybe there were things that I noticed that I questioned. It often feels like that verse gets interpreted as an invitation to sacrifice. Or maybe not just sacrifice, but maybe martyrdom. And looking back on it today, I think there's more that needs to be said about that. Because if you're not careful, you can read that verse and take away the idea that God wants you to be a martyr. I don't believe Jesus was telling us or his disciples to seek out suffering or to stay in harm's way so that one day good can come from it. That's not what it's saying. I don't think it says that God sends us this pain as scraps. God doesn't send or cause the scraps, but God refuses to waste them. That is a lesson I take from that verse, that resurrection is not about glorifying suffering or pain, but it's about glorifying love's power to bring life even from that. In our lives, in our world, we will face hard things. Pain and illness, grief and loss. In our world, there are beloved things that will one day fall apart. Institutions that we see crumbling, perhaps. Nations rise and fall. There is plenty of material for our compost heap. We don't need to go searching for more. I'll say that. But I'll say this too. Compost works best in community. Your pile and mine mixed together. I was thinking about this, and I have so many compost stories to tell, I had to choose which ones. I remember as a child, one of my chores was to take the food scraps out the back door, up the hill, and back to this pile where they just sat. And we were not very good composters, I guess, because we never turned it, or I never turned it. So it was just a pile that sort of grew over time. And then I was thinking about another story. A few years ago, I was up at Holden Village, this Lutheran retreat center, way off of Lake Chelan. And because it's so remote and everything has to come in by ferry, they don't send much trash out. They try to recycle as much as they can right there. And one of my jobs as a maverick was to be on garbo duty, to take the truck of compost to these giant recycling tanks where it was mixed and composted and grew into something that they would then spread on their gardens. There's a lot of compost. This small village created so much, and yet it was turned into the stuff of a new life. And we went into the dining hall, and we were eating the fruit of those gardens every day that we were there. In community, when we bring our scraps together, something magical happens. My strengths balance your weaknesses, perhaps. My experiences enrich your soil, yours enrich mine. And this, friends, is what it means to be a part of a body of Christ, to be part of an ecosystem of grace and community. It's a reminder that seeds bear fruit not in isolation, but when they fall into the earth and become a part of something larger than themselves. I don't think Jesus was only speaking of himself, only speaking of Calvary in that verse. I believe he was also speaking to each and every one of his disciples there and to us still today, saying, you have the opportunity to be a part of something much bigger than just yourself. So today I'm talking about living out the gospel according to compost. What does that mean in practice? It means trusting that even our waste can be redeemed. If you show up on Wednesday night for choir, know that you're going to be there with a lot of other human people. And that's a good thing. We all bring something to share. And it means joining our gifts and our griefs with others for the sake of the whole. It means slowing down enough to let God do that imperceptible work, that unseen work, but active work, and trust that the process of being community together will bear fruit. Kimmerer calls us to help create the conditions for renewal. She says, well, I would say that's kingdom work, friends building communities and ministries and relationships that are fertile ground for the Spirit, good soil where hope can be planted and take root and grow. Compost doesn't happen overnight. It's often slow and quiet work. It often smells worse before it smells better. And it takes a lot of trust to believe that something good is happening, even when you can't see it. our lives are much the same. There are seasons when all we see are the scraps, dreams unfulfilled, grief unchosen, mistakes we wish we could undo. God doesn't cause those things, but God breathes spirit through them and turns them in love, and in time makes them into soil for something new. So here's the good news, friends. You are part of the soil that God is making for the sake of the world. The scraps are not wasted. The rot is not the end. God is still composting your life into something rich and life-giving. Do you believe it?
Yes?
Well, then amen, and let it be so.